Com.
Welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host and tour guide, Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, I strive to expose the beguiling and destructive myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, with military and economic schemes. If you'll listen, your eyes may be opened and you may ultimately change your mind towards some of these human institutions. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission here this morning will be to help you understand what is occurring behind the headlines, sometimes predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 20 years. Our purpose in doing so is manifold, but some of the reasons embody the idea that our country is not worthy of our support. I don't care what country you live in. It isn't good to become dependent upon your country. It isn't good to engage in the very popular game of Robin Hood, where that which others have earned is confiscated from them to lavish benefits that have not been earned on others. All of these kinds of things we need to wake up to. We need to recognize that the deficit spending of countries throughout the West and many countries around the world ultimately has a consequence. It's time we recognize that our military is very seldom, if ever, protect our freedoms. That, in fact, the amount of money that is squandered on militaries will ultimately cost us our freedoms. It is time that we come to recognize that religions are rotten to the core. All of them. They lead away from God. And so it is important that we address the issues of patriotism, because most people have been blindly conditioned that to be popular, to get along, one must be patriotic. One must parrot foolish platitudes regarding their country, regarding their military, regarding their economic system and its superiority. And so we consider the news so that we might understand that these human conditions, these human institutions associated with politics, the military, economic schemes, patriotism, and religion aren't worthy of your loyalty, your support, or your trust. Then during our second hour, we engage Yahweh, that's God's one and only name, on his terms, by way of his one and only covenant, a covenant that has not yet been renewed, and through his always dependable Torah teaching, so that with his guidance, you will be able to replace your religion with reason and engage in a relationship with him. Now, sometimes during this discussion on the news or presentation of Yah's testimony, you may consider this program to be out of sync with the popular notion of political correctness. That, boy, we're just not being nice. But here's something to think about. Being nice isn't nice most of the time. If you are tolerant of, accepting of, if you embrace notions that are errant, deceitful, deceptive, deadly, destructive, damning, you aren't being nice. By pretending to say, I'm going to accept all things, I'm going to go along with patriotism that gives this false notion of the superiority of one's country over others. I'm going to give support to the notion that our military is protecting our freedoms. I'm going to give support to the notion that our government is run by good people doing the right things for the citizens. I'm going to be nice in that way. I'm going to embrace all political viewpoints, no matter how destructive, erroneous, deceitful they may be. Because, of course, that's nice. But no, it isn't. There's a reason that the majority of the testimony of Yahweh and Yahusha isn't nice by that standard. They're intolerant. The only way that you can be merciful, genuinely reliable and dependable, the only way that you can provide hope for people that is based on reality is to be intolerant of all things which are unreliable, destructive, deadly, and damning. And it is only those who go out of their way to point out the flaws in religion, in political schemes, in economic schemes, in military schemes, that are being compassionate because they are showing you why you ought not trust that which is untrustworthy. And yet in today's screwed up, messed up world, that's considered not being nice. It's funny that that I go into this discussion mainly because of a letter that I received yesterday, probably someone who had a not very nice, by their standards, conversation with my good friend Larry, who has just called in from Florida. How is the nicest guy that I know? How are you, Larry?
I'm doing good. Was that really due to a run-in with me?
No, you were not named, but a person whose view that that you cannot be saved if you are not nice, and the only way to be saved is to be nice, wrote me a letter that said that there was a collective them out there that somehow represented me, and that when they spoke for me, they weren't being nice. And
wow.
So my guess is that it might have been somebody that you tangled with online.
It may have well been. I can't imagine the concept of being nice, you know, having anything to do with, salvation.
Just think about this for a moment. Who is the one person that Yahweh goes out of his way to say, that guy is vindicated, that guy is righteous, that guy is the exemplar, that guy is upright?
We might be talking about Dode here.
Yeah, the guy that's miscalled David.
Your head off with a chainsaw.
Yes.
You know, I don't think he was about seeing how nice he could be to the enemies of Yahweh or anybody.
Right.
Represented anything Babylonian or in opposition to the Torah.
He had his enemies. You read the Psalms, man, and he had his enemies. Why? Because he was intolerant of those things that were destructive and deadly. And by the way, even in his personal behavior, you can't consider Dode, who is now conceived to be David, as being nice. I mean, he sent his general off knowing that, believing that he would be killed because he coveted sex with his wife. I mean, so the fact that being nice is somehow the means to salvation and that not being nice is the means to condemnation is so inconsistent with Yahweh's testimony and Yahusha's life and his example, that the reason that Dode is considered vindicated, tzedak, righteous, isn't because Dode's life was nice. It's because Dode had a passion for Yahweh's Torah.
Absolutely.
He knew Yahweh. He loved Yahweh. And he observed Yah's Torah. He came to not only understand it, but his passion for the Torah is the great gift to us because he wrote these marvelous songs, the 119th being the most important, as a explanation to us as to how we go about observing Yah's Torah. And it's all about using our eyes to read it, using our minds to think about it, coming to know and understand what is presented there, and then responding to it. And it's because of his willingness to respond and act upon the terms of the covenant and the means that Yahweh has provided to make us appear perfect in his eyes that Dode is considered tzedak, righteous. We don't earn our salvation by being nice. We don't engage in a relationship with Yahweh by being nice. And Yahweh is not nice to those who are deceptive, to those who are deceptive.
You know, the very concept of political correctness is nothing more than a fabricated reality. And its
correct.
Design is to do nothing more than to, mislead us. To stop rational thought.
Yeah, you and I have had lots of discussions about this. And by the way, just to clear up something, I don't speak for you. You don't speak for me. We share a common passion for Yahweh and His Torah teaching, but there is no collective us.
We happen to agree on most everything.
We do.
We have some slight disagreements here and there, but they're nothing.
Yeah. But it's important to understand that there is no collective us. There is no group that is associated with this radio program. I don't have a club, don't have an organization, don't have an institution, don't have an anything. Just one guy. Although I appreciate the fact that I correspond with lots of people online, you being one of them. I've a great producer that helps make this show possible, and Scott. But there is no us. There is no us. And I don't think of myself as being relevant at all. In fact,
that's because there's no institution to join.
Right. And I don't consider myself to be relevant at all. And I make this point all the time. I am just an ordinary, flawed, dented, and dull implement. My only purpose in doing this show is that after I retired, I had the time to study Yah's testimony in Hebrew. And I have made a concerted effort to translate what he said as accurately and as completely as possible. And then because the one thing that I might bring to the party, and it's a small thing in the overall picture, is I like making connections. I like putting the pieces of a puzzle together. And Yahweh seems to really like that kind of thought process. He tells us all sorts of things about who he is and what he is offering us throughout his testimony. And he has done it in such a way that you get to figure it out. You learn about it and understand it by comparing what he said when examining the totality of his revelation. So I like making those connections. And I do this program to share what he has shared with us. That makes me essentially irrelevant. Now we'll come back and speak about political correctness and its consequence in a moment. Good morning. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I was having an interesting conversation with Scott during the break, I think some of which is probably worth sharing, Larry, before we go in and discuss the consequence of political correctness. When I was talking with Scott, one of the things that he brought up is, you know, the only thing that could be perceived as a collective us would be that Yahweh has offered us the opportunity to participate in his covenant family. And so there is a collective us as it relates to the covenant. But we all come to the covenant individually. And since we all come to the covenant individually, I can't claim that there is a collective us even as it relates to the covenant, because everybody has a very different path to the covenant. Now, there are five terms and conditions of the covenant, and there are seven steps that we walk each year to receive the benefits of the covenant. And while those terms and conditions are the same for all of us, and the invitation is the same for all of us, we all come from very different paths. And that was the point that Scott was making, and he's right. You know, if you look at us, we've all had different things that have occurred in our past. There's different things that we need to walk away from to participate in the covenant. We all have a different path, but using the same terms and conditions to the same place. And so the only possibility of having a collective us is in that Yah offered all of us the opportunity to participate in his covenant. He delineated the terms and conditions, and anyone who embraces those terms and conditions is a member of God's covenant family. So there is a collective us, but it isn't a collective us where you or I or anyone can say, well, I am certain that these 3,000 people are members of the covenant family, and I know them all, and that we all congregate together. That's just not the way it works. We all have an individual relationship with Yah through the collective of His covenant. Now, you and I were talking about political correctness because it's the underlying theme of being intolerant to and taking objection to errant, deceitful discourse. When somebody goes out of their way to say something about God or about His covenant that is untrue, there is this notion that it does not matter. Mutually exclusive things should all be respected, and we should be tolerant of all things, and that to be intolerant and to be judgmental is a sin.
And that's really the notion advanced among, say, men that work on the floor of the Senate.
Correct.
You know, let's go out and let's compromise.
Correct.
And Yahweh is in no way
compromising
the notion that there should be any compromise about what He says at all.
Matter of fact,
He says to stand up in a warlike position against people that are opposed to His words.
Yeah.
And I do know that Dode or David did a lot of praying for his enemies, didn't he? He prayed that they would go down on lakes of fire, that heaps of coals would be raked on them, that they would die and that their families would die. I mean, let's get real. You know, there are people that are opposed to Yahweh's words, and they are a destructive force. And any time that we compromise with these notions that would compromise the words of Yahweh or His plan in any significant way, we're really having dinner with the enemy, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, we're actually showing a lack of compassion. Now, it's not that that by exposing the reality that the Christian religion, the Islamic religion, these religion of socialist secular humanism are false and unreliable. By using evidence and reason, we're not going to persuade the zealots to abandon their faith, because evidence and reason will never prevail with those who are overtly religious. But there are enormous numbers of people who are on the fringes of religion. They were indoctrinated in a culture of political correctness. They were raised in a religious culture, but they know that there's something dreadfully wrong with their with politics and religion, and they're looking for answers. There's a huge swath of people that fall into that category. And so that when we take the time to expose, here are the flaws inherent in political schemes, in religious schemes, in patriotic schemes, in military schemes, in economic schemes. And we take the time to expose them and at the same time explain how Yah's testimony provides sound and reasonable, reliable answers, then we are in fact being merciful to those individuals who are honestly seeking to know. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back in a moment. To Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. If you would like to engage in this discussion, our number is 877-300-7645. Now, Larry, one of the things that you've already mentioned is that political correctness has a consequence. Political correctness was created as a replacement moral code for socialist secular humanism. Socialist secular humanism is the religion of most Western countries. Most of Europe and the United States, as well as countries like Australia and New Zealand, now run their academic institutions, their media institutions, and their political institutions on the notion of political correctness. And it is a moral code designed to replace Yahweh's Torah's instructions. And so it is a moral code that basically says that you should be accepting and tolerant of everything, even if things are mutually opposed to one another, like the coexist bumper sticker, where they're asking mutually exclusive institutions, religions, and political schemes that are all diametrically opposed to one another to all coexist together. That's the notion of political correctness. And being judgmental, which is to examine the evidence and to exercise good judgment based upon what you have learned, to be discerning and discriminating so that you can form reasonable and rational conclusions based upon the evidence, is discouraged.
Yeah, to eliminate critical thinking is advanced.
That's the purpose. So it doesn't. The reason that political correctness was created was, one, is to have an ambivalent moral code. So rather than Yahweh's system, where he says, if you embrace these ideas, that you will have the opportunity to become my children, to live forever with me in my home. If you discard those ideas and you instead embrace the ideas of man, we will be either eternally separated or you will have squandered your life. You will have lived like any other animal, and at the end of your physical existence, it will be over. And so what political correctness does is that in a ocean of information, it makes that information useless to people because they're no longer capable of processing it. People no longer are able to think.
It prohibits free expression.
Well, yes, if you have free will and you have freedom, but yet you can't process information rationally and be discriminating and discerning about what it is that are the opportunities and the consequences of your choices, then your choices are rendered moot. You're nothing more like other than navel lint on a wave. You're going to go along with wherever that wave is taking you.
And what happens to a person that steps outside that circle of political correctness, Yada?
Well, if they're in the
happens to that person?
Well, if you are a member of the media, you're no longer meeting the media. You'll be fired. If you're in academia and you step outside of their intolerance for everything that is intolerant of their political correct view and their socialist, secular, humanist religion, you're fired. If you're in politics and you say anything that is out of line with political correctness, you're drummed out of office. And if you are just an individual like you or I, Larry, and you speak in this way, then you find that you receive lots of hateful letters by people who are intolerant of you, who are yet advancing tolerance.
And your character is assassinated, isn't it?
Of course. Always.
Yeah.
That's why it was so fun that you called today, because one of these idiots should I use a pejorative and label them? Probably not. But in this particular case, this individual presented their case all without evidence, all inaccurate, and I painstakingly took 3 hours to respond to everything they said. You know, they'd write, you know, something. I'd say, well, you know, like, for example, they want Yahweh's name to be Yahweh, and yet they spoke specifically about the four letters that comprise the word Torah, T-W-R-H. And they know that Torah has a W in it, and they know that Torah has a hey in it, the wa and the hey, and yet when those two letters are three of the four letters found in Yahweh's name, the only other one is the obvious pronunciation of the Y, they're not able to
so
go from that Yeah, yes, it was. It would be, if it's we're using modern Hebrew, it'd be tiv a. Instead of Torah, it would be tiv a.
because they want to change the W from the vowel O to the letter V, and they want to make the hey in Yahweh's name, which is the same hey as the end of Torah, which, by the way, is pronounced ah, as a vowel sound in 99.9% of the words that the hey appears in Hebrew. They want to make, just change it within Yahweh's name to an eh as opposed to an ah. And then they want to follow the rabbinical advice that Yahusha, which is a compound of Yahweh and the Hebrew verb salvation, Yasha, is not Yahusha, even though it's written that way over 220 times in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And my guess is that Yahweh knows how to spell and pronounce his name, and that's how it's written over 200 times. They want to change it so that it no longer has the Yah, so that you remove the identification with Yahweh, saving, and it becomes Yeh, without the H, just Yeh, Shua.
Shua.
Shua, the verb Shua in Hebrew means to cry out, to scream.
Right.
So, Yeh doesn't mean anything, so it just be the one who screams.
But Yeshu certainly means something, doesn't it?
So if you go and you, yeah, it does. It's he whose name should be blotted out. When you take the time to explain to someone, as I did this individual, so you have presented the reality that you know that Torah is written T-W-R-H, and that the O sound, therefore, in Torah is coming from the letter W, and the A sound at the end of Torah is coming from the letter hey. And when you see these same letters in Yahweh's name, you aren't willing to recognize that that's how they should be pronounced as well. You know what kind of response I got to that? Nothing.
What?
I was called, I was labeled and slandered.
Well, see, here's the thing about
by
that.
By someone who was offended that they were labeled in a discussion probably with you.
Probably. The people that advance the notion that Yahweh's name cannot be understood or pronounced are really advancing the notion that the rabbis did when they decided to lose all things Yah and say his name couldn't be pronounced. And if you pronounced it wrong, they got to listen to you. And then if they decided you didn't pronounce it correctly, they put you to death, which is what power is all about.
Now, let me ask you a question then, Larry. If, and I'm playing devil's advocate, you know the answer to this question, but if the, you know, the four, there's three letters, two of which are repeated in Yahweh's name, if they cannot be pronounced, then how do we pronounce all of the other thousands of words that are comprised of the same 22 Hebrew letters?
Obviously we can pronounce it, and the point is Yahweh shared his name with us 7,000 times in his covenant writings. We know that. And then he shared it with us again hundreds and hundreds of other times by having his name as a contraction in names like Eliyah, Zachariah, Yasha Yahu, Manyahu, Yaokan, on and on and on we could go. And so when he shared his name so many, many, many different in Mount Moriah, and then yet I will have conversations with people that will tell me that Yah isn't even in there. I've seen Yehovah, Yah, I've seen Y-E-V, this would change the very nature of Yahweh, who was sharing the name with us very purposefully in so many ways. If he was trying to hide his name, then his nature would be different from the one that you and I know. Isn't that true?
Yeah. You know, and the reality is that not only does Yah state his name as Yahweh 7,000 times in his Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and not only is his name openly stated by those who have come to know him, and not only is it comprised of the same letters that the same 22 letters as we find throughout the Hebrew alphabet. It's comprised of 22 letters, of five of which are vowels. And it is so obvious that five of them are vowels, because when you look at the Hebrew lexicon, there's five letters that are always pronounced with an open mouth sound. Open mouth sounds are vowels. Closed mouth sounds are consonants. It is all you have to do to recognize how to pronounce Yahweh's name is to look at how every other word in Hebrew is pronounced when they use those same letters.
And
it's
so suddenly,
extraordinarily simple.
So suddenly when Yahweh writes his name, he did it to trick us. I mean, that's what you would have to believe, right?
Of course. And then you know, in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, you find Yahweh's name written over 200 times. You would think that God, since he was able to write the instructions on the two tablets of stone, since he was able to hand Moshe his Torah, since he was able to articulate the past, present, and future accurately through his prophets, you would think that he's literate. I'm going to make an assumption here and assume that the author of life and the individual who came up with the concept of DNA, the very individual who created the Hebrew language for the purpose of revelation, unique from all other languages, I'm going to assume that he's literate and that he knows how to spell and pronounce his name, and that there's a reason that his name as a diminished corporeal manifestation is written as Yahusha, a compound of Yahweh and Yasha, the Hebrew verb for salvation, telling us something.
Yeah, defines himself and his mission.
Right. Yes. And so, you know, and there's this dreadful religious notion amongst individuals that this individual they don't know, they call him Jesus Christ. There was no Jesus Christ. Both, you know, Christ is not a last name. It's not even an accurate representation of his title, which is Masayah, Masayah, Masa means work, and so it's the work of Yah, Masayah. They don't know his name, and yet they have this notion that he was the ultimate intolerance, that he was nice to everyone. And yet when you read what he actually said and did, almost every time he's responding to someone, he's being harsh, he's being critical, he's being intolerant, and because that's the only merciful approach. To Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yana. We have Larry on the line. We're talking about a subject that is among the most misunderstood. And since we have not covered any news during the first hour here of the program, Larry, the thing that I do want to emphasize is that it is in intolerance of political correctness that we do the news. That is the entire purpose of the news portion of this program. The news portion of this program is universally intolerant of virtually every human scheme. It's intolerant of politics, both Republican and Democratic here in America, but of liberal and conservative politics across the globe. It's intolerant of communism and of fascism. It is intolerant of every religion, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and most especially socialist secular humanism, which is faith in man. It is intolerant of the use of militaries around the world that, for the most part, make bad situations worse, just like the American military did in its invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq.
But they do happen to enrich people.
They do, and they certainly kill a lot of people. You know, we're opposed to using the drones to murder people around the world. We are opposed to many of the economic schemes that are being perpetrated, which is why yesterday's program and also Monday's program focused on the trial balloon that is Cyprus, where people's savings will be confiscated by those who are trying to manipulate everyone to become dependent on government so that they can control them. And most people are playing willingly into this plan. They are willingly voting for those who are opposed to austerity, who are willing to steal that which some have earned to give to the majority who have not. And so the reason that we don't side with any of these institutions, this is not Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity that speak of the right as if they are moral and good, and the left as if they are evil. No, we speak of both sides as if they are evil because they are evil. This is not a Christian radio program that speaks of the wondrous nature of the Christian religion because we know it's not true.
Well, isn't really one of the things advanced in the Christian religion since Paul's letters are really the foundation of that religion is that you get along with all men. You become all things to all people.
Yeah, but you know, Paul was just like the fellow that wrote me, I'm assuming, about a tango with you, is that Paul is just like him, which is that he bristled at the reality that, in all likelihood, you told him that his beliefs were inconsistent with Yah's testimony and therefore not true. And he bristled at that and said, well, you're not being nice. And yet, that's exactly the start that Paul has. But then Paul, like this individual, then slanders and labels and is intolerant of you, or in the case of Paul, most everybody, including, you know, Paul's primary animosity is towards Yahweh and his Torah, but he's also
the disciples.
Yes, and so yeah. You know, these guys could all use a mirror. You know, and look into it and say, wait a minute, I'm mad that this person labeled what I had to say as being untrue, therefore they were intolerant of me, so the response that I should have is not to engage in debate, not to focus on the message and to find out who is telling the truth and who is deceiving. What I should really do is be intolerant of them and crush that individual.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but the same thing was true with Paul. And so there is a reason.
I've been called a winbot.
I've heard that term recently. It was shared with me recently. And you know what of course is interesting is that we only care about one thing. In terms of public discourse, only care about one thing. And that is to share what Yahweh shared
words.
With us, not privately, with us collectively.
Right.
We don't ever go beyond what he communicated to all of us in writing. We will dig into that. We will say, this is what it means in terms of here's the words that he chose. Here's the meanings of those words. Here's the stems and the conjugations and the moods associated with these words. Here's the full amplified meaning of these words using the etymological history so that you can closely examine and carefully consider God's word. And then we will say that based upon him telling us this, this is what it means to you and me. And so if you are, per chance, parroting something that I'm saying, then all you're really doing is parroting something that Yahweh is saying. And if you're going to do that, then you are the furthest from being a robot on the planet, because Yah is into free will.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effect